Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. From our annual meeting, I took some topics. I just had people say, hey, what do you want? Is there some things you want me to address? One of the areas was service. All right, service. There's a couple events that we do every year that are service-oriented. So the one would be the Easter egg hunt, right? We get out there, we use our gifts, and we may probably use some gifts that we typically maybe wouldn't use on a Sunday morning, say, like face painting, unless you're good at your makeup and stuff like that. But we have face painting, we have the games out there. There's a lot of things that people can help out, load up, set up. So a lot of different areas that we have people talking to other people, just sharing Christ with them, so... A lot of different activities. So that's one of the areas where we kind of get out there. We don't charge anything for that. And people from the community say over and over again, they're just, they go, man, you don't charge anything for this. And they're so grateful for that opportunity to bring their kids out. There's even people that plan to have their kids and their grandkids come back. And they plan to come back on Easter so they can be part of our Easter egg hunt. You know, so that's pretty cool. They're looking for it and... They're planning for it. So that's one of the areas. And then in the fall, we've done Rake. And this year, we did just a service Sunday where we kind of went out and we raked yards. We went into the gardens, Garden Square there, and then People City Mission. Just went out there and served the community in the area here. So service. When we talk about service, we have a couple opportunities. But there's also service groups, right? One community we pastored, I was part of Kiwanis. Anybody heard of Kiwanis? Very good service organization and group. In Crete here, you have Sertoma's pretty big. And then we have the Rotary Club as well. They're service groups. And I remember one guy, he was a pharmacist in Kiwanis group, and he'd always say, service is the rent we pay for our space here on earth. Service is the rent we pay for our space that we take up here on earth. And so that was kind of, I thought, you know, the church should be known for its acts of kindness and its service. But you know what? In the secular world, service is a big thing. You're going to see it at Doane College. All the students are required to do service projects. You're going to see it in service groups. You're going to see it in organizations and businesses where they, whether they encourage or they may even require service and involvement in the community. But above all, the church should be known for its acts of service. And I think we'll see that here in our passage this morning. So to look at better at just this idea of service, I want us to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And when I picked this passage, I mainly had in mind verses 10 and 11. But then I kind of went back to verse 1 and kind of read that whole passage. And as I began to kind of research and just develop it, I realized, you know what, this whole passage kind of talks about this idea of service, but also stewardship. Stewardship. How many have heard that word stewardship before? Okay. A steward, it's a word that we don't use a lot of, but a steward in the Greek was known, it's literally translated a responsible servant, responsible servant. And so a steward in biblical times was a servant, and servants in biblical times were different than slavery that we are accustomed to. Especially in America, okay, with black slavery and things like that, there was a difference. Now, some of it was people went into to became slaves or servants for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes they got into a difficult situation, and so they would sell themselves as a servant to be somebody's servant. All right, So it functioned in a different way. Not all of it, some of it was bad, but not all of it was as bad as what we are accustomed to with our perception of slavery here in America. All right? But the idea of a steward was a responsible servant or a responsible slave. So say a wealthy man was, he had livestock, he had land, so sheep, cows, cattle, he had other servants. And so a steward would be one that would kind of administrate or oversee all the resources that this man had. All right? Whether it was people, the other servants, or whether it was livestock, whether it was his field or business operations, a steward oversaw that. So the man could take care of other things that were of more importance to him. Now, with being a steward, there was a lot of room to either be a good steward, a faithful steward, or to be a bad steward. And there was probably some liberties that one could take. And so you, as you read through Scripture, you'll see this idea of a steward, one being responsible and one not being responsible, using it towards their own ends. Jesus would have some parables about the faithful servant or steward that he would leave talents to. He left them to three, and some were faithful, some were not with him. All right, so that's that idea of steward. And so as I look at this passage, the English ESV version actually has that section titled Stewards of God's Grace. And so I kind of looked at that, and I said, you know, And as I looked at this passage, I realized God has given us several things that he wants us to be steward of. And one of those is service, but there's also other things that fall into that category. So I want us to begin to get a better picture of being a steward of God's grace and this idea of service. I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 1 and read through verse 6 to kind of build on that. So Peter says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, okay, that he had that when he came to earth and then ultimately that would take him to the cross. Because he who suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his life, earthly life, for evil human desires, but rather the will of God. For if you spend enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do, living in debauchery. What's debauchery? I know you use that word every day. Anybody know what debauchery is? Debauchery is behavior that stems out of drunkenness, okay? So when people have had too much to drink, they do things that they shouldn't be doing. That's debauchery, okay? All right? Lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you don't plunge in with them to do the same flood of dispensation, all right? The same activities. And they heap abuse on you because you don't join in with them. They mock you. Come on, why don't you come out with us? Have a good time. Verse 5. But they will have to give an account to him who already is judge, who will judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, how we live our life. But live according to God in regard to the Spirit. Father, we ask the blessing over your word. Pray that you would take it and apply it to our hearts and our lives this morning. In your name we ask. Amen. One of the gifts of God's grace that he has given us is life itself. Life. He's given us life, breath. We're born. Josh and Karen just got to experience that with their new baby Chloe. This new life that comes in. It's a gift of God. And some get to enjoy life for a long period, for a whole lifetime, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. For others, it's shorter, isn't it? But we have a gift called life. It's a gift from God. It's a gift of his grace. And he expects us to be a steward of the life that he has given us. The key is, how will we spend the life that we have? There's a lot of different ways we can spend this life, isn't there? Right? And God isn't always just looking over our shoulder, just like the master wasn't always looking over the shoulder of his steward. God isn't always looking over our shoulder. Now, he sees everything that we do. But how are we going to live the life that God has given us? The moments, the days, that we have here on this earth. In Peter's day, as in our day, people would spend their lives fulfilling their own pleasures and their own desires. Now, pleasures isn't always bad, right? It's not always evil. It's not evil to sit on your back porch enjoying a spring day having a Coke or a tea or a coffee. Okay? That would be a pleasure, right? Put up your feet, relax. It's relaxing. That's not evil. It could be if that's what you did 24/7, but it's not per se evil. But pleasure can take us, if that's what we are seeking, it can take us down paths that lead into sexual immorality, sexual sin, okay? And he deals a lot with that. It seems like a lot of the sins have a sexual overtone, the orgies, the carousing, the debauchery. A lot of that is sexual in orientation, that we're enjoying sex is a gift of God. There again, sex is a gift of God, but when we choose to explore that outside the boundaries of marriage, then it becomes sin to us. It is true of alcohol, it is true of pursuing gods and other pleasures. When that becomes our passion and our pursuit, we sin, we disobey and rebel against God's will and His plan. Now, are those things fun for a time and a season? Yeah. Yeah, that's why people do them, right? For the most part. You know, sometimes they do it because everybody else is saying, hey, come along, be with us. But you always have to pay the price for those consequences, don't you? And that's good and bad. Our life, there's always consequences, the decisions we make, how we spend our life. We have to live with the consequences, whether they are good or bad. God forgives us of our sin, thank God, right? But the consequences we still have to live with. There is no exception from those. We still have to live with the consequences. And Peter says to live your lives like who? Verse 1. Who does he say we are to live our life with? Like Christ, right? We are to arm our minds, have that same attitude that Christ had when he went to the cross. Now, when Christ went to the cross, he wasn't thinking about pleasures. He wasn't thinking about other things, going and having a party and having a good time. He had a very focused, a single focus when he went to the cross. That's the only way he could have accomplished what the Father had wanted him to do. He was very single focused. You know, I think about an athlete, a good athlete. We're in the Final Four. How many's brackets are doing well? I've been going between 50 and 70%. I'm not doing... Amanda, you're doing well? Daniel's like only had like 4 losses, but I think yesterday kind of took him for a loop. So Villanova kind of probably sunk me. So, but that's probably not my gift, selecting those, all right? But athletes, right now we're in basketball season and there's other things, but the Final Four. But when it becomes tournament time, it's not a time to party. There'll be a time to party afterwards, right? But when you're in the middle of the tournament, it's time to focus. You set aside everything else, and it's all your energies, all your focus is preparing for that game, the next game. And in the Christian realm, Peter says, arm yourselves with that same attitude, that focus. And so the first principle that's in your program there is to live to further the gospel. That's the attitude that Christ had. He had one purpose and one focus, and that was that he was going to live this earth to become God in flesh to us. But secondly, he was going to go to the cross to provide salvation for us. And it wasn't an easy thing for him. He was human in every sense of the word. So the crown of thorns, he felt those dig into his brow. The whipping and the insults, he felt every one of those. The nails in his hands and his feet, he felt that. And he knew that was coming, and that's why the night he is betrayed, he has communion, the Last Supper with his disciples, and they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays for the night, and he calls the disciples to pray with him as well. Why? Because he says, God, if there's any way I don't have to drink this cup to go to the cross, is what he's saying. If there's any way, if there's a plan B out there, I'm all in. Because I don't want to go through the cross. But not my will, but your will be done. See, there wasn't a time for pleasure, for doing all these other things. It was time to do the will of the Father, and it meant setting aside whether it was evil things or neutral pleasures. It was game on. The attitude that he had to go to the cross. He was very focused. And Peter says, you know what? He comes, he's going to come in verse 7. He says, we're in the end times. The end of all things is near. Now, I don't think he's saying it's going to come tomorrow. But when you look at the biblical things, we are living in the end times. And God could come at any moment, at any time, right? We don't know the day or the hour, but he could come at any moment. And if he was to come today, the trumpet blows and up to heaven we go, into God's presence. Have you been a good steward up to this point with the life that he has given you? Where you would go into God's presence and God would say, good, well done, faithful servant. Come into your Father's presence. Or would he kind of look at things and go, oh, man, yeah, you're living for me, but boy, you've been taking a lot of days off here, haven't you? Right? How would he look at your life? You may make it to heaven, but you're going to have that little pup tent next to the rocky edge of the perimeter of heaven there. Instead of the mansion on the hilltop, right? Live to further the gospel. We have to understand the times that we're living in. That God wants us to be a good steward of the life that we're living. Because we will have to give an account to the life that we live when we get to heaven. So, that's point one. Point two, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Da-da-da-da. Okay? Therefore, be clear-minded and self-control so that you can pray. You ever gone to the, you know, come before God in prayer and, man, you're serious, you're going to pray and what? All of a sudden you got, this needs to be done, there's this. And your mind is full of all other stuff except for coming before God in prayer, right? Things you need to get done, things you need to get to do. And Peter says, you know what, the end of all things, you know, he's building some tension, some anticipation that God's return is soon. We need to be, when we pray, we can't be thinking about lollipops and all these other things. But we need to be praying earnestly and faithfully because God's return is near. We need to be praying for our neighbor next door that needs Christ. We need to be praying for the coworker at work that needs Christ. We need to be praying that God furthers his kingdom here on earth. That isn't just something that we should think about. It's something that we need to earnestly pray for. So prayer is a privilege, and it is a gift of God's grace. It is communion and fellowship with God where we get to sit one-on-one with the God of the universe. That's pretty great, isn't it? You get to fellowship and talk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, who would be one of your famous people that you would like to hang out with? You would like to have private access, just you and this person. Give me a name. Who? John? John who? John the Baptist, huh? All right. Who else? Somebody that's still living. Huh? Who's he? All right. Okay, now, Aaliyah, if you got a pass, you could spend an hour a day with Ryan, just you and him, you could have that access. Would you take advantage of it? All right, how about 10 minutes? All right, 5 times a week. You'd probably take advantage of him. Probably. You know, God has given us a ticket, a privilege to come before him, to communicate with God. And I don't think we realize the privilege it is of prayer. To come before God, that he He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. We can have fellowship with God. Our prayers actually make a difference. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? It's a gift and a privilege. And so the second point there in your program is be disciplined in prayer. Prayer often, a lot of times we set it aside because of distractions and busyness. We set it aside and it falls to the wayside. There's interruptions when we seek the face of God. All these things. And Peter is saying we kind of, there again, have to be pretty focused and disciplined to take this gift seriously that God has given us. To be a good steward of this gift that he has given us as we come before God in prayer. And we talked about prayer and fasting here a couple weeks ago. It's a great privilege and an honor. And it's something that we shouldn't take lightly, but we should come before God and seek his face. Third, verse 8. Let's look at the third point. Peter then says, above all, love each other deeply. The ESV says earnestly, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And everybody said, amen. You know, when Scripture talks about love in the New Testament, Paul, Peter, and the other authors, it primarily deals with loving our brother and sister in Christ. And I find that interesting. You would think it would be about loving the world, wouldn't it? But he primarily deals with loving our brother and sister in Christ. Why do you think that is? You know, it's one thing to love somebody across the world that we never meet, isn't it? We don't have to deal with knowing them one-on-one. Their quirks. You all have them. I have them. Don't talk to my wife. I have them. All right? The people that we have the hardest time loving are the people that we are closest to, because we know their weaknesses. We know their hang-ups. All right? And within the church, we work with each other. We serve with each other. And when that happens, you're going to have offenses. Okay? We're going to get on each other's nerves. Okay? That's part of humanity, right? You have it at work. You have it wherever you go. You're going to have that happen. Now, you have two choices. You can become bitter, or you can go hide in the corner and be a monk and isolate yourself. Or we can learn to love and to cover over offenses and realize, you know what? God forgave me and has forgiven me. He loves me with my hang-ups, my mess-ups, my weaknesses, my quirks. He loves me and he expects me not to just be a reservoir and say, God, show all your love to me. But he expects me to be a river, not a reservoir. So a reservoir does what? Has a dam there, right? And it keeps it all to itself. That's not God's picture of love. God's picture of love is a river. That God shows it to us, and we are in turn to show it to the world around us. Just as Christ loves us and forgives us, we are then to do that to the world around us. But so-and-so did this. You wouldn't believe what so-and-so did to me. Yeah, I believe it. We're human. And you've probably done it to somebody else. So Peter says, love deeply, love earnestly, and by doing so, we cover over a multitude of sins. We offer forgiveness. Jesus says, you know what? If we can't forgive our brother and sister in Christ, we can't enter into heaven. He says that in the Gospels. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? Because he's saying, you know what? I've forgiven you. In turn, you have to forgive others. If you can't forgive others, then you're not like me. And you can't enter into heaven. Wow. Does it say that? It does. So forgive. So the third principle is love deeply and forgive. Number verse 9, number 4, Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality without grumbling. You can underline that word grumbling. Now, people, hospitality, when we think of hospitality, we think of having people over to our house, right? And usually it's people that we like or know, right? We have hospitality. That isn't the picture you have in biblical times of hospitality. Hospitality in biblical times had to deal with, they didn't have motels and inns in those days. They did have a few, but we know that was an issue even during when Jesus was born. Okay? So when you were traveling through a community, often people would open up their home to a traveler and provide them a place to stay and food for the night. That was the picture of hospitality during Peter's time. It was directed more to the person you didn't know. Now, you know, you take that to our times today. Most of us probably would not do that, would we? Why? Just because we read the newspaper and we see what's out there. But the idea is being generous and kind to those outside the body of Christ that are in need, to be hospitable. So it might not be bringing them into your home. Maybe it is. But maybe it's just extending kindness to a stranger. It has to do with the idea of a stranger. You know, and there's stranger danger out there, right? But the idea of extending hospitality is extending it to people that we don't know. To extend love, kindness, generosity to people we don't know. In fact, Scripture says sometimes we may be entertaining who? Angels. And I know that gets to be a difficult. We see somebody that is in need and begging for money. I'm more apt to help somebody that I see a legitimate need over somebody that's requesting money. That's a hang-up on my part. There's probably legitimate needs, but when I see a need and they're not asking for help, that's where I want to help. Does that make sense? Sometimes when people are asking too much, they're taking advantage of a system. But you know what? What does it matter? If we have given hospitality and generosity to somebody that is in need or requested in need, and we've given it in His name, does it matter? Does it matter? It doesn't matter, does it? Because we've done it in His name, so whether it's abused or not abused, whether it's helped out or somebody's taken advantage of the system, we've done what God has placed upon our hearts, and we've done it in His name. Peter says, extend hospitality. And to do it without grumbling. You ever helped somebody and grumbled under your breath? I know none of you have ever done that. You do it, huh? I'm glad you're honest. Sometimes we grumble, don't we? And Peter says, offer hospitality and do it without grumbling. So be a steward of God's grace by extending hospitality. There's a fifth point. I guess this is our last one. Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with strength that God provides. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes we think, you know what, I don't have any skills, right? But Peter says, each one of you has at least one gift or skill that is to be used within the body of Christ. And it's important within the body of Christ. We all have a gift. And all gifts and skills are essential for the body of Christ. Now, he says by doing so, God's grace is manifested in a manifold or various multitude of ways. Now, I need a married woman that has a diamond ring that wants to show off their ring this morning. Okay, who's there? All right, come on. Barb, come on, Barb. All right. No, you can leave it on. We're going to have you donate now. All right, so we're going to look at this. And see, I hold this up, and when the light hits it, it shows off a lot of different places, right? You probably can't see it from here, but I can see it from here as the light hits, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Barb. Sure. Like a diamond, God's love, His grace hits the church. And he wants it to shine off in all different areas as a reflection of the variety of gifts that are within the body of Christ. He doesn't want us to be uniform. Uniformity, I don't think, is of God. You know, where we all come to church, we all look the same. None of you look the same this morning. All right? And that's part of God's picture and plan. He enjoys the variety, and he wants to display his grace in various forms. Now, the passage that Josh read, talking about he's given apostles, prophets, those are important. And he talks about every sinew or ligament being important. Now, Mark, when he was in football his senior year, tore his LCL and hamstring back here. Fairly minor when it comes. A lot of times they tear the ACL, which is more in the center. I guess there was a girl here just recently in Crete that tore all her ligaments in her knee. And I was talking to the therapist. He said it's the worst knee injury that they have seen here in Nebraska, and they actually sent her to Mayo Clinic to be operated on. Now, Mark's was hamstring and LCL, probably one of the least important ligaments in your knee. LCL, ACL are a little more important, or MCL. But just one of those not being there or being torn, your knee's not going to feel right. It's not going to feel sound, is it? And sometimes we think, you know what, the church doesn't need me, doesn't need my gift, you know? But just think about that illustration, just how important. There's ligaments in your fingers, your elbow, legs, knee. Just think about it. If one of them wasn't there, it's kind of like, your knee wouldn't work, would it? The same is true, the picture within the body of Christ. Each gift is important in supporting the body of Christ and making the body of Christ function. It's important. It's vital for the body of Christ. The fifth point or principle there is serve God through your gifts. Serve God through your gifts. We offer a giftings class a couple times a year. If you haven't taken that, I encourage you the next time we offer it to take it. Sometimes we do it on Sunday afternoon or on Wednesday nights. A lot of people know at least some of their gifts and their talents, but it's kind of interesting to find their temperament and their giftings and what they're passionate about, see how those align, and maybe how God wants to use that within the body of Christ. It's good for me because then I see, oh, okay. I just a lot of times can't tell your giftings just by looking at you from up here, okay? I don't know if that's a surprise to you or not, but sometimes I can. Sometimes I can be here and I can say, oh, they're a good singer, you know. I can tell that one out usually. Or maybe we're not going to have them on the worship team. anyway. But I can't always see that, so it really helps me out to really identify giftings within the body of Christ and how we can use them within the body of Christ. Because each gift is important within the body. Our service is important. It's a gift to God. That he wants to display his grace through our lives like a kaleidoscope or a diamond that is beautiful. It's beautiful to him. And it's beautiful to the world around us. The world will notice when we are involved in service and doing what God has called us to do and utilizing the gifts that he has given us. And that idea of stewardship, there's one parable of the talents that Jesus gives. And it was a unit of money. So it really wasn't talking about talents in the area of giftings. Okay, but the principle applies. To one, Jesus gives, or the master gives, one talent, right? To one he gives two, and to the other one he gives five. And so the one with five, and they were stewards, so this principle applies, okay? The master leaves on a trip, and they were stewards. So the one with five goes and gets what? Five more. Pretty good. So he takes the money, the resources he has, and he gets five more, doubles it. Okay, how many would like a financial broker like that, right? Doubles your money. That'd be good, right? Okay, he's going to get more of my money. The one that was given two went out and did what with his? Got two more. Okay, same results. He was given less, but he still doubled what he had, right? The one with one did what? He buried it in the ground. Now, he could have went out and doubled his as well, but he didn't want to take any risk. He didn't want to take any chance. Sometimes using our gifts and talents takes a little bit of chance, doesn't it? Takes some time and energy. Takes some investment. And the master didn't just say, you know what? Oh, I'm sorry. I understand. I have sympathy. He kind of just, when you look at that story, it's kind of like he throws him into the place of eternal darkness. Okay? Kind of because he didn't use the gift that God had given him, the master had given him. What gifts has God given you? And as we look at being a good steward of God's grace, God's maybe gifted you in some really incredible ways. Are you utilizing that for His glory? It doesn't always have to be within the church, but are you utilizing it for His glory and His kingdom? There's a lot of variety of gifts. And we see that on the Easter extravaganza. Just everybody using their gifts and talents to further the kingdom of God and make a difference. And each gift is unique. And each gift is important. On a Sunday morning, we see that. Whether it is working behind the scenes or whether it's being up in front, they're all important, aren't they? And you may think, oh, this is the most important up here. Well, I can guarantee you there's things that happen out there that I think are more important, because when you're in my position, if those things that are done out there aren't done, then the whole thing doesn't go well. Each of those gifts is important. Have the musicians come. We sang that song earlier, A Glorious Day, and it ties in well with just the mindset that Peter's in. He says, the end of all things is near. You can stand up. The end of all things is near. And I don't know if Christ is going to return today or if it's going to be a year, 10 years. When you read the news, there's a lot happening there. I do know that He is going to come again. And I know that I'm not going to live forever. There's a day that He's going to call me home. 47. Hopefully I have a few more years left on this earth. But we never know when God's going to call us home. But I pray He sees it all. He sees the things that nobody else sees that I do for Him. He sees the things that I shouldn't be doing, could have done better. He sees my weaknesses. He sees my failures. He's given me life. He's given me His grace. He's given me gifts. He's given me His Spirit. And have I been a good steward of that? And beyond the gift of heaven, one of the only other greater things is when we get to heaven and we hear Him say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well. Enter into my Father's blessing. Enjoy your mansion, not your pup tent. Well done, good and faithful servant. I pray, I'm no judge, He is. But I pray that that is what you all hear, that each of us hears. That when we cross over into God's presence, we hear, well done and good and faithful servant. You've been faithful what I've entrusted you with your time, with your talents. Usually when we talk about stewardship, we talk about time, talents, and treasure. It's your time, your talents, your gifts, and your treasure, your resources. That I've been faithful what God has entrusted me with. In the end, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Him, right? He's entrusted those things to me. That's the idea of stewardship. And I'm to be a good steward. I'm supposed to responsibly utilize those for His glory and His honor. Amen. Father, this morning, we just give you our lives. Maybe it's a time that we look at our own lives and say, God, you've entrusted a lot of things to me. Life and gifts and talents and resources. And you've made us a steward within your kingdom. Father, I think each one here would say, you know what, I want to hear well done and good and faithful servant. We want to hear that from our parents. We want to hear a job well done from our parents. We want to hear it from our boss. We want to hear it from our teacher. Man, you did a good job on that paper, that test. We want that approval. But above all, Lord, I think we want that approval from you that we were faithful with what you have entrusted to us. Whether it was one talent or five talents, that we were faithful with what you've given us. That we didn't take it and hide it in the ground, but we were faithful with what you've given us. So, Lord, let us commit us, our lives, to fulfilling that purpose. Having that same attitude that you displayed when you lived this earth and went to the cross. Hallelujah. In the name we pray, amen. Let's sing that through. Victor and Yolanda, if you'd come. Josh, if you'd join me up front. If you have a need and request this morning, maybe you just want to make an altar where you're at and say, God, I just give you my life, my time, my talent, my treasure. How have I evaluate you and God by His Holy Spirit. Say, God, how am I doing? Am I getting an F? Am I getting a C? Am I getting an A? What do I need to do to change? Amen.